Today on Abounding Grace, Pastor Chris Gordon reminds us of the if-then part of God's law here in the Old Testament. Hi there. Welcome to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, who returns us to Exodus chapter 24, Beware of the Angel. It's here that God lays out the do's and don'ts and the ifs and thens of His law. And from there, we'll take a look at the New Testament and see how it all fits together like a marvelous jigsaw puzzle. We invite you to spend time with us today as we continue our look at Exodus. Again, we're in chapter 24, verses 1 through 18. Let's catch up with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, as we begin today's broadcast of Abounding Grace with the reading of God's Word. Once again now, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, I invite you to turn to the second book of the Bible tonight, the book of Exodus, as we're making our way through this book. And tonight we come to what is essentially the requirements of the conquest of Canaan. Thinking about this, you'll remember that I had even named way back in Genesis, I doubt anyone remembers this, but that I had named one of my sermons the conquest of paradise. And Adam had failed in that. Adam had broke the mission that the Lord gave him and to exercise dominion. And here we're seeing certain requirements that are again being set before Israel, and we should all ask the question, how did the conquest of paradise go for them? Seems to me you have all the themes again really reinforced here that we've already studied and looked at in the Garden of Eden playing out. And tonight we'll see some of that, but ultimately leading us to the answer to Israel's great failure. So tonight we come to Exodus chapter 23, beginning at verse 20 to the end of the chapter. Behold, I sent an angel before you to guard you on the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared. Pay careful attention to him and obey his voice. Do not rebel against him, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. But if you carefully obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. When my angel goes before you and brings you to the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I blot them out, you shall not bow down to their gods nor serve them nor do as they do, but you shall utterly overthrow them and break their pillars in pieces. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from among you. None shall miscarry or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my terror before you and will throw into confusion all the people against whom you shall come. And I will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. And I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivites and the Canaanites and the Hittites from before you. I will not drive them out before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the wild beasts multiply against you. Little by little I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and possessed the land. And I will set your border from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines and from the wilderness of the Euphrates. For I will give the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them and their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. May the Lord bless the hearing of his word. Well, we have spent some time now studying these civil laws that the Lord put in place to be a great blessing for the nation of Israel and the theocracy as they lived. And I really wanted to capture, as we went through those laws and spent some serious time on those laws, it wasn't easy stuff to go through. But I think looking at that, we really did get a great sense of the goodness of God. Think about all the things that we learned about how good God is, caring for the poor, wanting to see them clothed at night and not going to bed cold. You had all sorts of things that were shown to us. The Lord concerned about pregnant women and about women caring with child and the child in the womb. All this stuff that we've looked at, we see a righteous and a holy and a good and a pure God. His law, of course, being that reflection of his and statements of demonstrating his righteous character. It puts on display his wisdom and his perfect will. This is good. The law is good. We should be able to say that all the time. The law is good. Oh, how I love your law, oh God. I mean, how could anyone not read this section of Scripture and come up with that kind of conclusion? The law is good. The commandment is holy, as Paul said. But I think it would be wrong, as we're going through this, to miss how the New Testament presents to us the big picture when looking at this story of the nation of Israel. And especially this particular phenomenon of the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, which really does encompass here, we're seeing a sort of law covenant between chapters 19 and 24. And it's interesting how the writers of Scripture describe what's happening and where we are right now in the particular Exodus and the giving of these laws, how many of the New Testament writers are describing this and explaining this for us. This is major portions of our Bible, so we have to give ourselves to understand this. And I believe there's great blessing in understanding this so that you see the whole story of the Bible. This was one of the things that helped me so much, was to finally, the Bible sort of shrunk for me when I was able to see that it's one great story from Genesis to Revelation. That's why it's important to go through these books. But something that the apostle said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, when he said that the ministry of the law, what we're dealing with here, was a ministry of death. That is a serious thing to say. What did he mean by that? And he says, if this ministry of condemnation had glory, he goes on to say, the ministry of righteousness excels and exceeds in much more glory. That statement really does help, I believe, understanding Exodus 23. If the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds in much more glory. What is the ministry of condemnation? How do we understand that? What was he talking about? Well, it was this administration in the giving of the law, and what we have been studying in this distinct section of Exodus 19 through 24, that a certain covenant is being emphasized and commitments are being made and promises are being given, and there's going to be a ratification ceremony coming up in chapter 24, and there would be commitment sworn, and Israel would make these promises to do certain things and obey that covenant, and if not, as you read in this particular section, certain things are not going to go well for them. There would be blessings of obedience if there was obedience, and there would be curses for disobedience. It's right here. We just read it tonight. Well, that's really important as we look at this tonight, that what happened to Israel, and the big testimony of the Bible is, they broke this covenant. That's Jeremiah 31. Not the new covenant I'm talking about. He talked about the covenant with the fathers, which they, and I quote, broke. They broke it. What did they break? That's a really important thing to think about. We have to think about these things. And so while the law is good, there's nobody disputing that, while the commandment is holy, while I love God's law, while it shows forth his righteous character, while we have put on display the goodness of God all throughout the Old Testament, no one disputes that. That is, he is good. And he's righteous, as our confession and catechism said tonight. The problem is, we're not. That's the problem. And we give little place to the law of God in our life. That's the truth. And in that regard, the law had the great function of teaching people about their sin, big picture, and to face the consequences of breaking the law. And that they would turn away, the ultimate goal, even throughout the Old Testament, turn away from themselves and look to God's answer. I'm going to show you that's tonight in this particular text. This is why the Bible has always presented to us two kinds of righteousness. There is God's righteousness, Romans 1, but now Romans 3, now the righteousness of God is revealed. You have Romans 1 and 3 saying that. And then there's human righteousness, the way that we live before God. Think of the question in the Heidelberg tonight. Can we pay this debt ourselves? If anyone began to say yes, you're talking about human righteousness. Human righteousness. Two kinds of righteousness the Bible has presented to us. And this was the basis upon which Paul in Romans 9 would say Israel really struggled because trying to establish their own righteousness according to the law, they would not submit to the righteousness that comes from God. Romans 9. Now, I lay that background a bit because I believe you're starting to see this here in Exodus 23 work its way out to teach us this. Namely, the difference between the old and the new covenant. And it is a difference we have to think about. The Christian gospel has always been that we should turn away from ourselves and look to Jesus. That's always been the message. And that is not a new message in the New Testament. This is a message that has permeated and always dominated the Old Testament. And I'll, Lord willing, show you that here shortly. Was Israel taught the gospel? Absolutely, Israel was taught the gospel. And I believe we will see this together tonight. What they were put under here, and what, as Paul makes that distinguishes between under law here, has a specific purpose of teaching all of us about the problem of sin and the wrong kind of righteousness to pursue. And so with that in mind tonight, let's look at this. I want to begin with, you'll notice God's announcement here in chapter 23, that he is going to send his angel among them. Verse 20, "Behold, I send an angel before you to guard you on the way and to bring you to the place that I have prepared." What an exciting statement, isn't it? I'm going to send an angel in front of you, and he's going to bring you into the land. This is going to be great. It's interesting as we go on, and then we start to think a little bit about who the angel is, because there's been a lot of speculation among commentators and writers and thinkers about who the angel really is. And some will go on and say, I've heard all sorts of suggestions from Moses to Joshua, just an angel, another angel from heaven. It's interesting what's attributed to this angel. He keeps them. They are to obey his voice. That was the one thing angels never said to do to them. They're obeying God's voice, right? Don't bow down to me. You'll notice here that the angel has the ability to forgive sins. Notice that in verse 21. And he says there, be careful, pay attention to him and obey his voice. Do not rebel against him, for he will not pardon your transgressions. It seems to me very clear as we're looking at this, and this has been generally received, that you have already met this angel back in chapter 3 when he met Moses in the burning bush. And the burning bush, it was, as that construction we looked at so long ago from Exodus chapter 3, the angel that is Yahweh. He appeared to Moses and said, I am promising to go with you. That was Moses' great concern. I will go with you. I'm going to bring you there. And so I don't think we're wrong to say that we have here, as has been concluded by many, the pre-incarnate Christ, who had come among them in a pillar of fire and protected them through the sea, that Christ was already promising and teaching them of his work of deliverance. That means that when they were pulled out of Egypt, when they were brought out of bondage, the whole truth of the Christian gospel that we celebrate today was unfolding before their eyes. And we've looked at this. We've studied this. We've been studying this now for some time. The Lord had freed them from bondage and slavery in Egypt. He had put on display his power over that wicked tyrant, that Antichrist figure. They sat there and watched the Lord rain down all kinds of powerful plagues upon them, delivering them from the hands of the Egyptians with signs and wonders. He shook the most powerful nation on the face of the earth, blew them over like it was nothing, drowned Pharaoh and his captains right in the heart of the Red Sea, passed them right through the Red Sea on dry land. They sang a victory song. This is the story of the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, passing through death, coming out on the other side. We've looked at all this, and then entering in the wilderness life of sanctification. Moses could say, as they were at the Red Sea, stand still and look at the salvation of the Lord. Study it. Watch this. This is the gospel. This is the story. This is the single story of the Bible. He opened the Red Sea and he presented two massive, remember, columns that came down and shielded them and protect them, bringing them through, washed and baptized, as Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 10, as God's people. Well, then we come to chapter 19 after a whole series of grumbling and complaining of events. And the Lord comes down on Sinai and makes this covenant with them. And so now as we come to verse 21, think about this verse. Beware of him. Obey his voice. Do not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgressions. What? How easy is it to pass over that? Maybe because I want to. What a statement, huh? Obey him. Listen to that voice. For if you don't, no forgiveness. Wow. And if you do that, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you to the Amorites and bring you into the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. I will cut them off. So the Lord enters into this covenant he's doing here with Israel. Blood is about to be sprinkled on the people. Blood. And he would fight for them. He would go before them as is the sovereign Lord. But they were to remain absolutely loyal to him. So you'll notice, I'll drive them out. But you on your part, here are the covenant obligations. Here are the stipulations for you. You must be obedient. I will be faithful to my promises, but here's your obligations. And if not, curses fall on you. So what were they to do? Well, verse 24 tells us they were to avoid all idolatry. No idolatry in their life. They were not to bow down to any of the Canaanite gods. Now get the command. All along the angel would leave them and drive out the nations. Remember what the Lord said, if you obey and keep my covenant in chapter 19, you will be a special treasure to me in all the earth. And they said, all that the Lord has spoken will do. Here is this angel. And is this presence, what kind of presence is it? It seems to me that the presence was a terrifying presence. Because it comes with the announcement, if you don't obey him, beware of him. Beware of him. So they had to honor the law of God. They had to not worship any other gods, fleeing all idolatry. And of course, we're reading this knowing the whole story. We're not even going to get off the mountain and they got a massive idol they're holding up and worshiping. You shall surely overthrow them, verse 24, all the nations, and completely break down their sacred pillars. So you shall serve, worship the Lord. And if you do that, here's what God will do. Here's what God's going to do for you. He'll bless your bread and your water. The sickness is all going to be removed from you. Whoa. Imagine, no more prayer requests from the pulpit. This would be awesome, wouldn't it? No one's going to suffer a miscarriage or barren in the land. I'll fulfill the number of your days. Notice this, no one, all. Notice this language here. This is remarkable. You ready to step up to that deal? It keeps going. Confusion would fall on your enemies. The Lord says, I'll send hornets on them. Man, I'd love to see that. Hornets. Little by little, I'll drive them out from before you until you have increased and inherited the lands. Bounds will be set up from the Red Sea, from the Sea of Philistia, from the desert to the river. Now listen carefully. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out from before you. You got to go get them. I want them purged. It's your responsibility to cleanse the land, conquer paradise. Israel may and will make a formal pledge before God to do this, by the way. And if they did that, all the blessings they would receive. And if they didn't do that, all the curses would fall. You shall not, just listen to this for a minute. You shall not worship their gods. You shall not worship them, serve them. nor do according to their deeds. You shall utterly overthrow them, break their sacred pillars in pieces, but you shall worship and serve the Lord your God. They were required to completely and utterly cleanse the land.
Some marvelous insight into Exodus chapter 24 today, our message called Beware of the Angel. Pastor Chris will be back in just a moment here on today's broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio. We thank you for spending time with us today. It is always our hope and our earnest prayer that our time together encourages you in your walk and relationship with Christ. Now, to that end, we have a variety of ways that you can reach out to us, along with a variety of tools that you can use throughout the week to further encourage your walk and relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Reach out to us on our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or if you prefer, give us a call, 888-504-8805. Now, Abounding Grace Radio can be found on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can even visit our website for links to these platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. You'll also find Pastor Chris's blog there. We do have downloads of previous messages that you've heard here on the program. And if you're interested in redirecting some of your financial resources to Abounding Grace Radio, AG Radio is listener-supported. You, along with others, have seen the value of this program and how it speaks into your life spiritually. So if you're someone who sees the value of this program for your growth in Christ, get in touch with us. No gift is too small or too large, either a one-time gift or reoccurring. It all sustains this program right here on this station. You can donate online at agradio.org or call 888-504-8805, or lick a stamp and send a check through the mail. Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And by the way, if you've got a question for Pastor Chris, he'd love to hear it. Simply fire up your voice memo app on your smartphone, record your question, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. It's that simple. If we play your question on the air, we'll let you know when and send you an email back. Once again now, with a closing thought on today's program, here's Pastor Chris.
As we go through the wilderness, we strive, we fight against all these evil principalities and powers. But you notice in the New Covenant that he's always telling us to put on Christ's armor, to go in the strength of the Lord, the power of his might. The victory belongs to him. And the beauty of the new covenant is by the means of the Spirit working and by in great strength, that victory he gives us through the person and the work of Jesus. Think about this statement. For although we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We press forward looking unto Jesus, don't we? Who is, says Hebrews, the author and the perfecter of our faith, the finisher of our faith, who has already gone before us, completed the work, sat down at the right hand of God on the majesty on high, and has promised to come again and take us to be with him. That gives you every motivation now to go and do good. That gives you every motivation now to go and be who you are in Christ. That gives you every motivation to do all kinds of good works in the course of your life and to fight, because the victory is yours and it's been won in him. And so I encourage all of you this week to think upon these things. Think upon the cross, as we were challenged this morning, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus as you go out into your week. And whatever you face, remember, he fought and won, and now you go striving, knowing that your power and strength is in him. He is your head.
And we'll learn more tomorrow on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us then.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday.
That's right, Chris, we would. And our worship services, because of the heat and earlier darkness, begin 9:30 for the morning service and 3 p.m. for the evening service. And both are held under the tent at Calvin Christian. Well, here's Pastor Chris once again. If you'd like to know more, with information on how to reach out to us,
you can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.